So I'm Dr. Brendan Shaw, Chief Executive of Medicines Australia, and we're the business group that represents the innovative medicines industry in Australia.
The report by the Grattan Institute released today, if that was brought into effect, some of the recommendations, how would that affect Australia's medical industry?
Oh, adversely, immensely. The industry has agreed a policy framework with current and former governments that actually already brings down the price of generic medicines quite a lot already. So, for example, we already have medicines that have come down 66% in price. We've had an antibiotic come down 43% in price. And all of these have happened because of the policy frameworks that have been developed by the government over the last few years in partnership with the industry. And the beauty with the Australian system is that it provides price cuts for generic medicines whilst ensuring that Australians can gain access to new therapies in the future.
How would you explain then the discrepancy between Australia's pricing and the pricing in New Zealand?
Look, I think the thing the report has missed is that a lot of the price reductions are happening now. So there's a range of medicines that have already taken price cuts, and there's more medicines that will take price cuts in the future. Our pricing system is based on what the market's actually selling the medicine for. So if the government's reimbursement price is too high, then it comes down to match the market price, what the price that it's actually been sold for in the market. The other difference between Australia and New Zealand is that our system is not capped, which is a good thing because it makes sure that Australians can gain access to medicines now and in the future, whereas the New Zealand system is more of a rationing system. They have a capped budget, and what that means is they have to sometimes delay the listing of medicines. So, for example, one study showed that 57% of the medicines available in Australia weren't available in New Zealand at all. And we often hear stories of the problems that have occurred in New Zealand with that, only having one brand and not having enough treatment options for patients. So Australia's got a system which drives down the price of generics whilst ensuring that new therapies can come along in the future.
What other repercussions would there be for Australian consumers?
Well, the major repercussion would be that Australian patients would miss out on therapies. There's been a lot of attention paid to the cost side, if you like, of New Zealand, but not enough attention, in my view, on what the New Zealand system actually does for New Zealand patients. And as I said, there's a lot of medicines that we take for granted here in Australia that are not available in New Zealand. And what sometimes happens, in fact, is that New Zealanders, if they can't get access to the therapies there, they then come over to Australia and gain access them through our PBS system here in Australia. I'll give you an example. Medicines that reduce cholesterol were delayed in New Zealand by 3 to 5 years later than in Australia. And precisely for this sort of cap budget approach that's been recommended in this report, and what that's led to is New Zealand's actually got a higher death rate from heart attacks compared to Australia, and that's in part due to the delays in new cholesterol medicine. So there's a whole range of issues here that are not being examined in the report, and what it comes from is that if you focus too much on the cost side without recognising what the health system's actually there for, you potentially run into all sorts of problems. Now, I think the assumption that people are making is that the model that's recommended in the report that operates in New Zealand is a good one. In fact, everything we've heard about it suggests that it's not transparent at all. So it's not transparent. Deals done behind closed doors. Resoundingly, clinical groups and patient groups have criticised the New Zealand model for not being transparent. And also, I think it downplays the success of the current system. So we actually already have an independent expert committee called the Pharmaceutical Benefits Advisory Committee, which recommends medicines to government and recommends how the PBS should be run, the robust process. And then also there's quite an extensive process of price negotiation beyond that that actually does drive a pretty good deal for the Australian taxpayer.
So in your opinion, is the Australian system doing a good job at cost-cutting already?
Oh, absolutely. There's no doubt about that. And you can go on the internet and find the list of all the medicines that have taken price cuts over the last few years as a result of the policies negotiated between the government and the industry. One estimate is that the government's going to save $6 or $7 billion over the next few years from those price cuts. Look, I think the main thing in all of this is unfortunately the report has missed the reforms that have happened to date and hasn't given them enough credence, I think. And also the report doesn't actually tell the whole story. It only looks at one side of the picture. It only looks at the cost curve. And I can tell you from the New Zealand experience that just by doing that, you run the risk of having a whole lot of bad health outcomes for the Australian community if you go down that path.